Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Incorporation is critical to success. You don't want to do it on just any old website. Founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs, BizFilings breaks it down step by step with support from on-demand experts to help you get it done right. Take the next step today with a free guide at bizfilings.com/start.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so very cool of you to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a scientist turned digital artist, animator, entrepreneur, as well as an academic escapee. She has a PhD from the University of Waterloo and has over 15 years of experience in research. During this time, my guest has generated $340,000 in funding, prepared manuscripts, and lectured. Today, my guest is the founder of Psychonic.com, where she explains scientific concepts through creating simple graphics, infographics, and custom animations and explainer videos. This year, she was recently named as one of the 25 top entrepreneurs to watch by Fizzle.co. Now, let's hack Shelley Sandiford. I need to thank today's sponsor, Warby Parker, because as entrepreneurs, we all have excellent vision for our businesses. But some of us, myself included, need to wear glasses to help with our eyesight. Luckily, we have Warby Parker, because glasses should not cost as much as a new iPhone. That is why Warby Parker is creating a new concept in eyewear. Best of all, Warby Parker makes buying high-quality prescription glasses online easy, risk-free, and most of all, it's just kind of fun to do. With their home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to you for free. Try them on, test them out, feel how they feel, tell your friends and family to tell you how they look and how they feel. You get 5 pairs for 5 days. Plus, they're going to give you a prepaid package. All you do is mail back the ones you don't want to keep. Go to warbyparker.com/hack to choose your 5 free home try-on frames right now. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very, very special guest. Shelley, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. All right, Shelley, we're going to jump straight into this.
Okay.
Could you tell me, Shelley, as an entrepreneur, what has been the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow. I think really the biggest thing that I've done is sort of this realization that no one is going to take me seriously until I do. So coming in from a completely different career field, you know, I had tried to start my business on the side while I was still in academia. And, you know, science is an all-encompassing career. There was just absolutely no time. So I wouldn't necessarily advocate this for anybody else, but for me, the decision to become serious about myself and where I wanted to go, the first decision I had to make was to walk away from that career, and that doing this part-time wasn't going to work in my case, even though I wouldn't necessarily advocate that for anybody else. And I think taking myself seriously also meant, in a sense, even though I still consider myself a scientist, meant almost shedding that identity temporarily. So if I were to meet you in some sort of a public setting today, and I were to introduce myself, I introduce myself as an animator and a storyteller, not as a scientist. So taking myself seriously meant changing my identity, and it also meant admitting that I had an awful lot to learn. There were a lot of things that I didn't know, and I was way out of my comfort zone. I still am in many ways. So it meant seeking out help. I've had the opportunity to work with a couple of business coaches this year, but it really did start with taking myself seriously. The decision to work with business coaches, the decision to change to look at myself through a new identity, the decision to walk away from a career, it all stemmed from taking myself seriously.
Wow. I love it. So you said you tried to do it like on the side.
I did.
And so you were a scientist as in academia, as in like working at like a college or?
Yeah, I was a bench scientist. So I would conduct experiments during the day, come home at night and then open up my computer once my daughter was asleep and try and draw some pretty pictures and make them move. And it just, I just didn't have enough time.
Wow. And how long did you do that for?
I tried to get my business off the ground probably for about 2 years before I left.
That seems pretty typical. Yeah, and then at some point, you either have to give up on the business or give up. You got to give up on something, right?
You got to give up on the dream or you got to give up on the, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So can you, I guess you probably still can, remember like what it felt like that last day you walked out of your job?
It felt fantastic.
Really? It wasn't, you weren't like shaking and like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Absolutely. I would maybe stick some swear words in there too if I could. But I mean, they're absolute elation. I had wanted to walk away for a long time, or the circumstances were right before my mindset was right. And the day I walked out, I knew I was never going back. Even if the business idea failed, I knew that my life was going to go in a different direction. So it was absolutely fantastic.
Wow. So were you just fed up with academia, or did you just know that it would lead somewhere that you didn't know where?
No, I was done with it.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, because I know some people, they still do make that leap, but they're also like, but I loved my job. I did. It just wasn't fulfilling on the right level, or you want to know what you can accomplish.
Yeah, I love science and I loved being a bench scientist. I fell out of love with academia. And when that distaste sort of eclipsed my love for being a scientist, it was time to go.
Yeah, nice. Well, I think you're in good company here, falling out of love with academia. So it's good. So now I'd like to know, because there seems to be this point, which is this was the point for you.
Yep.
But I'm wondering if there's seems to be two camps. So either you're trying to go and make something big, like this big difference in the world.
Yep.
Or you simply just found like you just couldn't work for somebody else. Or as in your case, you just couldn't work within academia. Like which one pulled you harder, do you think?
Oh, wow. At this point, once sort of I had the idea, even though, you know, say in 2011, 2012, which was when I first sort of had this idea for a website, even though I didn't have a clear idea in my head of what it would look like at that time, I had that vision. It wasn't so much about not necessarily wanting to work for other people anymore. It was like, you know, I have this thing in my head. I want to try this thing in my head. And if it doesn't necessarily work, it doesn't mean I wouldn't go back to work for somebody else or anything like that. It was just, this is my chance to give this a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Because I believe your story, like it's not like you didn't just, well, I'm going to just find a widget and just sell it and try and make more money than I did at my job.
Yeah.
You want to bring science to more people.
Yeah.
Right. In an accessible way. That's a big change. That's a, that's awesome. I love that vision.
Yeah.
All right. So now every blog post, every expert, they talk about the 80-20 rule. I'm sure you've heard of this.
I have.
Do 20% and get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Shelley, could you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Oh my God. It's sales, for sure. I'm very introverted by nature. It's quite difficult for me to reach out to people. So, and unfortunately, that 80-20 rule right now, for where my business is at this stage, I have to spend most of my time doing that one thing that I really don't like to do. Spending a lot less time with the content creation these days as I am compared to the amount of outreach that I have to do.
Nice.
But yeah, it's reaching out to people, it's making phone calls, it's sending out emails, it's all that stuff that I wish I didn't have to do right now, but I do.
And are you saying that you're going to, like telling yourself that you're going to work on this to, like, you know, do something every day that scares you? That whole thing where, where are you going to push yourself to get good at this? Or are you going to push it so that hopefully your business grows enough so that you can delegate it out immediately?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Answer B. Is that right now I have to do it myself, but with the goal that someday, really, if I don't do it myself, the business doesn't grow. It's that simple, right? I mean, if I can't do it or won't do it or make excuses every morning why I shouldn't do it, business isn't going anywhere. So by refusing to do it, to me, that is a sign of giving up on this business at this point. And I'm not willing to do that. So when I get to a point where I can bring somebody in to do that for me, that is the first hire that I make. Absolutely. So I don't have to do it. Right now, I'm not in that situation. So that's just the way things are.
Of course. Yeah. And most businesses aren't in that situation. But sometimes people just, they love the battle. And then also, like, the most introverted of us, which I am myself, we find that sometimes we do like sales, or especially online, because you don't have to go like knock on someone's door necessarily and make a pitch.
That's true. You don't necessarily have to make cold calls.
Right.
But, and I can tell you this, that I've actually gotten better at it for sure. The more you do it, you know, it's gotten easier for sure. It's just, it's still not my favorite thing to do.
Right. Small businesses, though, we don't often get to do just that one thing we love to do.
No.
It takes a while to get there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, let's move on to work if we can, because as you just said, you don't want to make those excuses every morning not to do it because you have to do it.
Yeah.
So could we, with work, and today's a work day.
Yep.
You've come from academia, so probably fairly structured, I would assume.
Yep.
How structured is your work day? Like, you wake up today on a work day. Could you say, walk us through the first 30 minutes and what you do to set yourself up to get the things done?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So because sales and outreach is where I sort of struggle and it's not necessarily my strong suit, that is the first part of my day now. So, and really, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, I will make excuses as the day goes on why I don't want to do it or why I have something more interesting to do. So basically, I'm up and ready to go between 8 and 8:30 in the morning. By that time, my daughter's off to school or camp. And I open up my email and I either will research some companies or some organizations that I would like to reach out to, or I have already formulated that list from the day before and I go. I start trying to reach out to people. If I have already reached out and they've agreed to chat with me over the phone, then I also try and get those conversations out of the way as early in my day as possible, so long as it works for them. But that is always, always the first part of my day.
Wow. I love it. Get it out of the way quickly.
Get it out of the way. Get out of the way or it's not going to happen. Shelly will think of something better to do. And the day will come and go and it won't happen.
Wow. I love the self-awareness of knowing that, because I think I know that about myself, but I think I can still trick myself into, no, I'll do it later. And then
it was months of my, you know, trying to convince myself that I would do it at 3 in the afternoon, and it just 3 in the afternoon. There's no way it's happening at 3. So,
yeah. And so you're working from home at this point, or do you go out of the house sometimes?
I actually do a combination. This summer, I'm working a little more from home, but I actually also do have some rented office space downtown Ottawa. So most days of the week, you would actually find me there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you find that helps to get the...
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. I'm actually pretty good. You know, I don't tend to get awfully distracted working out of my office at home, but I just find the office space that I rent out of is fabulous. And there's people walking around there and you can start conversations. There's a couple of people associated with it that have sort of become almost like mentors to me, people that you can bounce ideas off of, you can have chats with. And I find the atmosphere really, really helpful, really invigorating. So when I can get down there, I choose to work downtown.
Wow, that's awesome. So is it co-working space or is it literally separate offices, but there's like communal areas?
No, it's a business. They offer, I'll give a shout out.
Yeah,
they're fantastic. They're called Rhapsody Strategies here in Ottawa. And they offer business coaching. They offer like web strategies, social media, and they have a fantastic office space. And so they actually do rent out, you know, desks there. So if you want to come down, you want to have a meeting, or if you want to work down there, you can arrange with them to go down and to get some work done.
That's awesome. Rhapsody Strategies. We'll link to that in the show notes so it's easy for everyone in Ottawa or going to Ottawa.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, awesome. Please do. It's excellent space.
And now I just now realized that you're Canadian. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I knew there was a reason why you were so awesome, but it's Canadians, we got to stick together. Just the
we got to stick together. Got to support each other.
But we should probably move on, I guess, because there's a lot of Americans listening. And
yeah.
All right. So, Shelley, I find that as entrepreneurs and as human beings, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and failing. I'm sure since you've started your business now, you've probably been wrong with some decision you've made. So could you right now tell me how you deal with being wrong?
You know what, John? It was hard at first because you feel, it was almost this feeling that if, you know, the wrong decision is going to be the decision that sinks your business altogether because everything was so new for me. But I don't know, I just sort of learned along the way that there really isn't any such thing as a decision that's so colossally wrong that you know, there's absolutely no recourse from it. And that if you just sort of build yourself up to making, you know, sort of these small decisions, you know, where you have to make a decision and be okay with it being wrong and just, you know, take it as a learning experience, make sure you note what you think might have gone wrong, what you think you can try differently next time, and just sort of build from there. I think it's much better. What I've learned sort of the hard way is that it's much better to just bite the bullet and make that decision today than to put it off. And now you're not making that decision for, you know, 3 months, 6 months down the line, because I've fallen into that trap. And that makes it awfully hard to grow a business if you can't get past making a wrong decision. So I'm kind of at the point now where I have sort of embraced this idea that there's really only, you know, one kind of really wrong decision. And that's a wrong decision that you make continually over and over and over again, and you're not learning from it, you know, and you just keep making that decision thinking magically that you're going to get a different outcome. Because that's a bad trap too. That's not a smart way to run a business, to not measure anything when you don't know what's working and what's not. But I think so long as you just bite the bullet and do it and make a few wrong ones, because I've made a few wrong ones over the past year or two, and just, you know that you're going to be okay. It's not going to mean the end of your business. You just got to switch courses and learn from it and move on.
Yeah, exactly. And you touched on some really, really, really good points there. Like the whole, how you have to bite the bullet and make a decision rather than sitting on a decision for 6 months.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you're right. Like, especially if you break ideas down smaller, you're not going to do something that's going to kill your business. But
absolutely,
indecision will destroy your business.
It will kill your business. Yeah. You learn that pretty quickly. Yep.
Yeah. And then the idea of taking like colossal decisions and breaking them into smaller ones so that, yes, like incrementally it can't sink the ship.
Yep.
Was this something that was hard, or like even making quick decisions? It seems the opposite of maybe how academia would work. I would.
You know what, John? I was actually just going to touch on that because, you know, you have to. Academia is all about analyzing the you know what out of something, you know, so that you can come to what you think is going to be the right decision. And that can kill you in business. I've learned that the hard way, that I do tend to take information. I like making lists, John. I will make a list and I will make like pros and cons, and my husband will walk in the room and be like, just make the decision already, you know? So that's been a learning experience for me, to just take the information that I have at that moment, understand that any more information coming in isn't going to make the decision any easier or any harder, and just make the thing. Just make a decision, just do the thing.
I love it because it's so true. And that information you have right now is enough, because really the information you need is acting on your decision and seeing what happens.
Absolutely.
That's really, really it. Okay, so Shelley, you're fairly early on in your business.
Yeah.
And I know that often at this stage that we get a lot of ideas, the shiny object thing, things come across our email inbox, things, we might go to a conference or we might talk to people at Rhapsody Strategies and get different ideas of things we do. So let's call them projects of something new that you could go into.
Okay.
But with all of this new stuff coming in and your business still at like an early stage, and you probably don't even know exactly where you want it to go at this point.
Yeah.
Could you tell me if you have sort of a process to filter these things out? And then once you do, how to decide that, yes, actually, this isn't just shiny, this is something I should pursue.
that's taken me a while too. You know, when I started the website, it was always with this idea that I could and would be quite willing to pivot the business if I found markets in slightly different areas. And so far, most of the interest in my business has actually come from outside the science community altogether. So for me, part of the struggle has been, okay, what are these other markets? Is it okay? Do I feel okay about that? Or is something falling so far outside my comfort zone that it's just not something that I'm willing to do? I'm actually not so bad with the bright, shiny object, with the concept of the bright, shiny object. At this point, I have a vision and I have sort of a list of areas that I would veer off into. And I stick pretty closely to that at this point. About a year ago, I can tell you that it was a little bit more difficult. I had about 5 or 6 ideas floating around in my head at any given point. And it was hard to stay the course. But now it's like, no, there's A and there's B, there's possibly C, and everything else is a distraction. So it's not so hard now.
Nice. That's impressive. Again, your self-awareness and knowing these things about yourself.
I didn't initially. That was a process in and of itself.
Right. But you know it now. Yeah. I've talked to people who've been in this game for 10 and 20 years and still can't figure that out about themselves. And they still jump. Yeah. And sometimes you fall into still good projects that are successful, but overall, it doesn't help your long-term sort of vision. All right, Shelley. Well, this has been fun. So I want to wrap up on something. This is going to be interesting because you are, again, early in these stages, but there's this idea I'm sort of struggling with called the entrepreneurial gap.
Okay.
So the entrepreneurial gap is where we are today, and we're always, always, always looking forward. We're entrepreneurs, right? We're dreamers. Yep. We want cool, big things. So we're always setting goals and setting our sights 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ahead. And sometimes before we even hit that goal, we send 5 or 10 new bigger ones further into the future.
Yeah.
Right? It's always in 6 months when I get there and my business is doing that, I'll be more successful. Always in 6 months, always in a year, but never kind of right now in the day to day. So I would love it if you could right now, Shelley, just stop, turn around and look at what you've learned through that 2 years of doing it as a side project, then quitting your job and quitting academia and moving into business. Can you just tell me how you feel about what you've learned, what you've experienced, and sort of how you've grown as an entrepreneur?
Oh, man, this has been fantastic. And even though I'm still at a stage where my business is growing, I feel very, very comfortable at this stage that I've done and am doing everything that I possibly can to keep this business moving forward. And I think, you know, over the past couple of years, just the amount of stuff that I have had to learn has been mind-boggling. Yeah, just who would ever think you would come out of a career situation into a new one, a career that took a lot of years to train for, and to walk into another field and realize you know nothing is very, very humbling. But I think part of my past, you know, just the way science moves, it's very, very slow. And a lot tends to go wrong. If it can go wrong in science, it will go wrong. And so you sort of learn to embrace those really small things that do go right during the day. You learn to embrace them and celebrate them because it might be months before something else good happens. So, you know, these days when somebody agrees to chat with me over the phone, I celebrate that. You know, when I finish off a small project, could be just a tiny, tiny little logo animation, I celebrate that. So I've just learned over the years, it sounds really cliche, but it really is more about the journey than that goal, you know, that you're trying to chase.
Nice. I love it. And now that we've looked back, let's look forward. We're sitting here, say, 1 year from today, Shelley, and you are celebrating an amazing year in your business. Can you tell me what you accomplished to make it that awesome of a year?
What I accomplished? You know, for me, if I could just, I don't know, just reach the right audience somehow, and to have just put together some projects that I really, really felt had made some sort of a difference and gotten into the hands of the people who really, really need to hear it in an engaging way. It wouldn't have to be to have made a ton of money. Just that alone, to have gotten out there, to have gotten my name out there a little bit, and to have worked with some really, really cool people. To me, a year from now, if you were to check back and I were to say, you know what, Johnny, this has been cool. I've worked on a couple of really great projects and some great people. That would be where it's going to be.
That's awesome. And since you would like to get your name out there, and this has been such a fun conversation, can we right now tell the listeners specifically where they can find out more about your business and you, Shelley?
Sure. My business is called psiconic.com. So that's S-C-I-C-O-N-I-C.com. And you can reach me at info@psiconic.com. I'm also, Shelley Sandiford on LinkedIn. You can reach me there. And my company is also on Twitter. It's the Twitter handle is @PsiconicMedia.
Excellent. And it is definitely, definitely, definitely worth checking out. So LinkedIn @Psiconic on Twitter, info@Psiconic.com is Shelley's email, and Psiconic.com is the website. All that, as well as Rhapsody Strategies, will be linked to in the show notes.
Yes, please do. They're fantastic.
Yeah, so just so it's very easy for you to find out there. And yeah, please go check out Shelley's stuff because it really is very, very cool. So Shelley, not just because you're Canadian, you really are doing awesome things. And I'm so happy that I got to talk to you today. So
that's been my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's absolutely been my pleasure. And yeah, just please, though, keep doing what you're doing because it really, really is awesome to watch.
Oh, thank you, John.
Shelley, thank you so much for that. That was a really, really, really insightful and enjoyable conversation. A scientist turned animator and entrepreneur. I love the title. It's amazing. It's so cool. And 15 years in like academia is amazing, with a PhD and then throwing it all aside to start your own business. It's a brilliant story. And I love that you're being recognized for what you are accomplishing and what you, and I look forward to actually what you will go on to achieve still. And I truly, truly thank you for joining me in that conversation. So you're out there listening, and Shelley's been through a lot. She's a really different story than a lot of my guests do. That whole PhD, studying at the University of Waterloo, the going, researching for 15 years, and then giving it up. And because of lots of us, we want to make that leap to entrepreneurship, but we think that maybe our background doesn't lead us that way, or the career we're in is, it's been chosen. I've been at it for 15 years. How would I give up? I got a PhD and I've been at it for 15 years. Why would I give it up to follow my passion and my dreams of starting something myself? But Shelley did it, and she did it, and she has a really good sort of mental take on it, like a mindset and philosophy behind it. And I really, really love that. So throughout the conversation, we talked about that, and she said a lot of really smart things, and she said a lot of really, really insightful things that really sort of just, wow, I was taken aback by it. But she said one thing. She said one thing that I just can't get out of my head. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I don't know. I just sort of learned along the way that there really isn't any such thing as a decision that's so colossally wrong that you there's absolutely no recourse from it. And that if you just sort of build yourself up to making, sort of these small decisions, where you have to make a decision and be okay with it being wrong and just, take it as a learning experience. Make sure you note what you think might have gone wrong, what you think you can try differently next time, and just sort of build from there.
And that's the hack. Yes, 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 Shelley. This is one of the most important lessons I think any entrepreneur, no matter how far into the game you are or if you haven't even yet to get started, but how important it is to be able to make a decision and go for it. And these decisions are hard when the decisions are really, really catechismically large, meaning that they can cause devastating effects to your livelihood or your family or yourself, right? It's I mean, Chris Brogan, in the very first episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, said that being wrong is no big deal. I mean, as long as you're not like an airline pilot and your decision to crash into a something or not is that, that's obviously something that's terrible. But Shelley's taking it down to taking these big, big decisions you have to make as an entrepreneur or as a human being, break them into smaller ones that aren't, that won't cause great, great effect. And they'll allow you to actually take action, make a decision today, right now, and take action on that. Not think of it as this giant thing, because then we never start. And it's, we'll never get anywhere. Like I honestly think one of the most valuable skills of an entrepreneur is the ability to just make a decision and act on it. Whether the decision's right or wrong is irrelevant. It truly, truly is. And I'm not just saying that, it's not that whole just be wrong thing, but it truly is. It's more important. More businesses fail. More ideas never get off the ground or executed on because of indecision and paralysis through analysis of just the most ridiculous ideas that don't have anything to do with anything, or the things that you think you or may feel possibly need to know. It's just not necessary. Break your ideas down as small as you have to the point where you can make a decision on it right now, immediately, and then take action on that idea. Shelley, that is so awesome. And I thank you so much for that. So that's it. This has been a lot of fun. As always, I truly, truly do appreciate you stopping by. It's just always a lot of fun. And I do thank you for that. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Twitter, John Naster, or find me through email, john@hacktheentrepreneur.com. I would love to hear from you. And yeah, please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.